Morning, Sanctuary Church. It's great to be with you. My name is Grant Eckhart. I serve as pastor at Jacob's Porch, a college ministry here at The Ohio State University, longtime member of Sanctuary Church, and shooting here from my building here on campus. So this sermon series has been so far on missing ingredients. And today, we're going to be talking not just about missing ingredients, but the main ingredient. When you're missing the main ingredient, like getting to Thanksgiving dinner, you've cut up all the onions, lemon, stuffing, everything is ready to go. You throw it in the oven, and hours later, you pull it out and realize that you've forgotten to put the turkey in. When we're missing the main ingredient. And what is that main ingredient? Well, it's resurrection people. Post-ascension people, after Jesus has risen to be with the Father, we are people now of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the main ingredient. Now we're going to walk through the Holy Spirit and where the Holy Spirit shows up in the Old Testament and New Testament. It'll be far from comprehensive. The Holy Spirit is on so many pages and there's so many things to talk about, but we'll narrow it down just to a few key ideas on the Holy Spirit as the main ingredient. There in Genesis 1, already, you have the Spirit brooding over the waters. The image here is kind of the chaos of the waters, and like a giant eagle coming and expanding her wings over the ocean, brooding, nesting, creating, bringing life, warming. That is the Spirit in power there at the beginning of creation. And then all the way at the end of the Bible, at the very end of Revelation, who's there again but the Spirit there with the bridegroom? They're giving people the water of life. And all in between, you have the Spirit doing many kinds of different things. The Spirit in the Old Testament is most often described as three things: Spirit, wind, and breath. And they're very rarely even differentiated. You see, in the Old Testament, the whole world, the whole cosmos, in fact, was just teeming with Spirit. The whole world was enchanted. That breeze across your face may be a breeze, but it actually may be a Spirit. It may be the Holy Spirit that is that near to you. And breath. You know, when you take a deep breath, you can feel that energy, that life come into you. That is the Holy Spirit. They didn't really differentiate too much between the things that we might differentiate with today. The breath brought life. God had given something and you are inhaling. You are inhaling it so deeply that it is in part of you. The Bible doesn't even that often differentiate between the human Spirit and the Spirit of God. It's just all Spirit. We are Spirit. The Spirit is around us. The Spirit is in the world, energizing and bringing life. Now, when we get to the New Testament, I want to begin with kind of a foundational piece of what the Holy Spirit does, a primary role of the Holy Spirit. So we're going to begin right in John 1 with the story of John the Baptist beginning his ministry, John 1, chapter 26. John answered them, "I baptize with water. Among you stands one whom you do not know, the one who is coming after me. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandal." This took place in Bethany across the Jordan where John was baptizing. Now the next day he saw Jesus coming toward him. And he said, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." John says, "This is the one I've been telling you about." Later on he says, "I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. I myself have seen and have testified that this is the Son of God.'" Do you see what's going on there? Right there, the Holy Spirit is doing the thing that the Holy Spirit loves to do most, and that is to reveal to us who Jesus is. The Holy Spirit revealed to John that Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world and is, in fact, the Son of God. The Holy Spirit is revealing to each of us with greater knowledge, greater depth, who Jesus is. This is what the Holy Spirit loves to do best. And we call this faith. the Holy Spirit, as the giver of life, gives us the gift of faith. We can't even get faith on ourselves just by believing hard enough. No, it is a gift of the Holy Spirit that you have faith. The Holy Spirit throughout the scriptures is revealing who Jesus is in an ongoing and variety of ways. Now, faith is an interesting thing to talk about, just for a moment. You see, there are moments in my life where I have been on fire for God. My faith has been just peaking, right? And nothing can convince me otherwise. And there's tremendous growth that happens during that time, a particular kind of growth that is wonderful and energizing. And then there are other times in my life where it's been harder to believe. It's been kind of that desert experience. But you see, even there was much for me to learn about God. There's much growth that happened for me in that desert place. It was a different kind of growth than what I had when my faith was, you know, peaking, but it was growth nonetheless. And the Holy Spirit, I think, in the Spirit's wisdom, almost like turns a dial. This is just my interpretation of it. We can wrestle with it through what this means. But gives us the right articulation, the right amount of faith in different seasons of our life. Wants us to grow in a particular kind of way. And then we also kind of have a dial, right? We can be open to the Spirit. Say, come Holy Spirit, give to me what you want. Or we can turn that down. By our will, we can just shut out the Holy Spirit. Not completely. We can never kick out the Holy Spirit, for we know that in our baptism we have been signed and sealed with the Holy Spirit forever. The Holy Spirit doesn't leave, but we can kind of willfully ignore what the Spirit is doing. And so I think the challenge for us in this is, you know, can we have that open posture to willfully say, Holy Spirit, I want you to come. I want you to be in me. I want you to give me the gifts that you want to give to me. And we may get an onrush of faith or other gifts the Holy Spirit might choose to give, like wisdom, all kinds of things the Holy Spirit gives through Scripture. But also the Holy Spirit might not crank things up that high. We're open, Lord, just give it to me. And it might not be what we want. Well, there might be something for you in that. Why you're not feeling or thinking what you think you should feel or think. You know, what is the Holy Spirit trying to teach you there? And what is the Holy Spirit showing you about Jesus and your dependence upon him? Who is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, who is the Son of God. The Holy Spirit is also discussed as the Paraclete or the Parakletos in the New Testament. Para meaning, in Greek, meaning being near or around, and kaleo meaning call. So it's this one who is near you and calling you, always, always near and present and calling to you. Sometimes the New Testament translates this as advocate, which isn't a bad translation. A paraclete in ancient Greece was somebody who was an advocate. They were into works of advocacy, sometimes in a courtroom, helping you. Sometimes it's translated as comforter, which isn't my preferred translation, but the Holy Spirit does bring comfort, because what we see in the New Testament is there's kind of this battle going on, this battle between sin and death and life and God. And we are in that battle, and that battle particularly is raging in the New Testament in these communities that are pushed to the margins. And so the Holy Spirit is often there on the margins, advocating, calling, being near, bringing life. And then we'll close with this final scene in Luke 4, where you have Jesus and the Holy Spirit together in power and unity and authority, saying this in Luke chapter 4. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, Jesus says, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." You see, between the brooding over the ocean and the bubbling up and offering of the water of life, there is all this mess in between. And when Jesus comes and the Holy Spirit is revealing to us who Jesus is, who's the way, the truth, and the life, we begin to see a different kind of world emerge. As we understand more deeply who Jesus is and begin to see through his eyes, a new truth emerges. A new way of being in the world emerges. The Holy Spirit illumines us, illuminates our eyes to see that as we are united to Jesus and see what he is doing in the world. And immediately Jesus is there, and we hear him proclaim it in his first sermon here in Luke 4 to proclaim justice and freedom. And so between Genesis and Revelation and all the things that are happening in between, the Holy Spirit is moving each of us, is moving the church towards greater wholeness through justice, through the equaling and equitying of humanity towards one another. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is out in the world doing things, and it's for each of us and for the church to catch up and to discover that, and to always be brought back again and again to Jesus. So that's just a snapshot of what the Holy Spirit is about. But my challenge to you this week is, can you have that open posture to say, Holy Spirit, what do you want to give me? And whatever it is, whatever amount you get that in, to really discern what the Holy Spirit is showing you. And to always allow the Holy Spirit to draw you closer to the Spirit's beloved, who is Jesus. And in so doing, partner with what they are doing in the world to bring us from creation to new creation, which is that work of life and justice and peace. But we can't have all of any of those other ingredients without first having the main ingredient, which is the Holy Spirit. So thank you, church. Peace be with you.